The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Check us out online at cruiseradio.net.
Another ship review from one of our delightful listeners, Marcy in Los Angeles.
Yeah, she took Carnival Breeze, an 8-night sailing to the Southern Caribbean about a month ago. So she'll be here later on in the program to talk all about it.
Plus, your listener questions. But first, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guys here. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Royal Caribbean is committing a second ship to home port in Tampa. What ship is it, and is this due to the lack of interest in Europe?
Well, it has a little bit to do with it. I'm not going to be surprised if more ships are redeployed back to the U.S. for longer sailings, considering the difficulty that the European market is currently experiencing. So they're bringing Vision of the Seas to join Brilliance of the Seas seasonally for cruises out of Tampa.
Oh, cool.
Beginning in the fall of 2014, so it's still a year away.
And did I read this correctly? Royal Caribbean has sailings on Allure and Oasis of the Seas for as low as $5.99 per person?
You did, Doug.
That's like an all-time low, right?
It is an all-time low, and it actually is a window into the current booking process for the Caribbean, because since these two ships have been in service, we've never seen prices on more than maybe one or two sailings here and there where they're that low. But there's several sailings, and there's also very good deals on the balcony cabins. So then if they're not getting such a significant premium, then it kind of shows what is kind of happening. But what's also interesting, Doug, is that I actually looked at the pricing, and as soon as the other ships begin to arrive in the middle of November, then their pricing picks up pretty good. So if you're looking to sail on Oasis or Allure, your best bet is to do it before Thanksgiving, because that's when you're actually going to find the best deals on those two ships. And because, like I said, once the ships get into more of the ships start to come back from Europe and Alaska, we start to see those prices starting to creep up to normal.
Very good. And Windstar Cruises is undergoing some more renovations. They haven't taken over the ownership of those Seabourn ships yet, have they?
No. And the renovations that they're doing are a continuation of what they previously did on the two original Windstar ships, the Windstar and Windspirit. So they're going to spend another $18 million on these two ships. They'll specifically put about $3 million of enhancements into the cabin, which is really nice because, I mean, these are areas where it's going to mean a whole lot more. So when they say that they're going to make upgrades to ships, typically what they mean is we're going to change propeller, we're going to change some wiring, and it really doesn't have any impact on the passengers. Here, what they're going to do is they're going to upgrade, they're going to actually specifically put $3 million toward the cabins, and they're going to put in sofas, upgrade the TVs, and vanity areas, and headboards. So it's going to be some nice areas that they're going to upgrade on the ship, which will specifically make a difference to the ships.
You've sailed Windstar last winter. What did you think of their staterooms in there?
I loved it.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'll tell you, for all these years, I was so hesitant to sail on the ships.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd be bored out of my mind, and the cabins would be too small. But the food and the service were just not even great. Doug, it was outstanding.
Very cool.
And I absolutely cannot wait to go again.
Nice. The situation in Syria has Holland America canceling a stop in Israel this weekend. Do you think more cruise lines will follow suit?
Well, it's a good question. I personally think that Holland America was a little premature because no attack from the U.S. Is imminent because, the president already said that they're waiting for Congress to take that, to shield him from that call. So, there was nothing happening yesterday in Haifa, nor today and tomorrow, this week in Ashdod, Israel. And they have nothing due. The Nordam is not due back in the area until October 25th, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But at this point, no one else has made any adjustments to their schedule.
The Daily Mail says Venice may ban cruise ships from the Grand Canal. First off, Can ships even fit in the Grand Canal?
The original story, they actually said that it was already banned from sailing down the Grand Canal, which was a result of that German tourist that was killed by a Vaporetto when he was on a gondola.
Right.
Now, we've been there a number of times, and I have never seen a cruise ship going down the Grand Canal.
Isn't that where the Rialto Bridge is?
Yes.
Yeah, they can't go down there.
No. that's just, just excellent reporting. Now, what they are referring to is the Giudecca Canal, mm-hmm. which, they, of course, this fabulous reporter, was quoting, story back from the Vaporetto, when we were on Carnival Sunshine, when they alleged we were 20 meters from shore, when the Italian Coast Guard, the ship's pilot, and the port, as well as the onboard officers and the ship's log, all said that we were a good 70 meters offshore, mm-hmm. Witnessed by us, and that that wonderful picture of that Vaporetto, if you recall, was in between, came up from behind us because we were going so slow, up on our starboard side, and then went in between a yacht that was being, that had a fuel barge attached.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, came up alongside of us and proceeded past us and then went into the dock. But when that guy who had one too many drinks snapped the picture, it looked like the ship was sandwiching and was close. When in fact, the ship was pretty good distance away, but it was the Vaporetto that put himself in that position, not the ship. But this is the lunatic fringe, Doug, that is really kind of spoiling for there's no scientific proof that the cruise ships are having any impact. And when they talk about the floods, which are typical and have been happening for hundreds of years, it has nothing to do with the ships.
Yeah.
Because if you recall, most of the ships are gone anyways.
Yeah.
So it's just ridiculous. But they don't take into again, it's just unfortunately it's a vocal few people.
Yeah.
But when we were there, the throngs. I'm not just talking a few. You remember hundreds of people
mm-hmm.
were lining the shores, taking pictures as the cruise ships came and left. It's a beautiful sight.
Yeah, they call it an eyesore.
A good distance. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they really are
sailing in and out, and you always see people running to take pictures. And they're so far away and have absolutely no impact near St. Mark's Square. And I know the Port Authority there is dealing with these people. And unfortunately, the Daily Mail, just got into some really terrific reporting. And I think they're going to blame aliens next.
Yeah, they got into the Inquirer.
They're going to blame Elvis's yacht next.
I saw this morning on CBS. This morning, talking to Peter Greenberg, was Carnival Corporation's new CEO, talking about steps that Carnival's taking. And I guess Peter Greenberg was on Carnival Breeze last week. Do you think that Carnival is going in the right direction?
Well, Carnival Cruise Lines, specifically. I think, look, they're spending $600 million upgrading their ships. They obviously have identified problems that have happened in the past and are essentially triplicating their process to avoid future problems, where let's say there is a fire, that there's many redundancies of the systems to prevent these ships from losing power. Now they may lose propulsion, but the hotel operation of the ships should not be impacted with these new systems. And if they didn't do anything, Doug, they just stayed, it's less than 0.5%
mm-hmm.
of instances where this happens.
Sure.
it's nothing. So if they did nothing and just said, hey, this is such a freak of nature, that's one thing. But it is a freak of nature, and the corporation is putting their money where their mouth is. They're making a significant investment to ensure, no one died mm-hmm. on this year. These ships do exactly what they're supposed to do. They do preserve life. The new mantra is to not only protect and preserve, but it's ensure passenger comfort. And these are all, doing nothing was unacceptable. And what they're doing now, certainly should make a difference going forward. And I actually thought Peter did a very fair and objective news piece.
For once.
Updating consumers as to what Carnival Corporation is doing. And also they're looking at all of the other fleets as well.
Yeah, definitely. Stuart, got a listener question for you. What are your thoughts on Canada-New England sailings in the fall?
I think, look, it's a peak sailing time for those cruises. It's a wonderful time to go because, you know, not only is it, you know, they include the sailings in and out of New York, but, you know, Boston and also heading into Quebec. So you can get, besides, you know, getting into Newfoundland, you can actually get into, one of the best cities that Canada has. And it's a beautiful time of the year to go. Temperatures are nice and cool and the weather's great.
Yeah, plus a couple weeks ago, we talked about Holland America adding, 48 or 46 sailings to Canada, New England?
It's significant, and people are going to just really, really enjoy it.
All right, man, we appreciate it.
You got it.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
Always happy to have listeners call in and give us their take of their recent sailing. Marcy is no stranger to Cruise Radio. She's been on here a time or two before. Marcy, first off, welcome back to Cruise Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. You just sailed an 8-night Southern Caribbean sailing on the Carnival Breeze out of Port Miami. Now, you're actually in Los Angeles, correct?
Correct.
So you actually flew from L.A. to Miami. And tell us about how you got to the port. Did you buy the cruise line transfer? Or
no, actually, we flew into Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And then the hotel that we stayed at had a shuttle for $75 that took you to the Port of Miami, picked you up at the Port of Miami and brought us back to the hotel.
Oh, so that was round trip $75.
No, it was one way.
One way, okay.
So it was $150 total. So it was for both of us.
Okay.
So we didn't have to, it wasn't per person. So that was the best deal we could find when we started looking.
Yeah, that's not bad at all because like sometimes a driver will cost you like upwards of $100 just to get there.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah, not bad. So you get to Port Miami, and how was embarkation there?
It was great. By the time we got there, we left Fort Lauderdale at 11. It got us to the port about 11:45, and they were already starting to board. By the time we got upstairs, checked in, we were able to get right on.
And this was your first time on Carnival Breeze. So what was your first impression of the ship overall?
It was the biggest ship we'd ever been on. This was our 8th Carnival cruise, our 11th cruise overall. And it was the biggest ship we'd ever been on. But it was immaculate. And everybody, the crew was very accommodating and very friendly when you were getting on. And actually throughout the whole cruise, actually.
And it's very, I enjoyed the fact that it's not as Carnival gaudy as the other Carnival ships. It's very, like, very smooth and those Caribbean colors.
Yeah, very tropical. Even though it was big, it wasn't crowded. It never seemed like it was crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Never had trouble finding a place to sit or anything like that.
And what kind of stateroom did you book?
We had a spa stateroom.
Nice.
Which was on deck 12, adjacent to the spa, which gives you free reign of the thermal pools and the sauna rooms. whenever you want, when they're open. The only thing extra you have to pay for, of course, is if you want a treatment, which, of course, we did.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you feel about the space in the actual stateroom and balcony?
It was great. It was wonderful. You know, the same setup as every other carnival ship we've been on, but the balcony, I don't know if it was me, it just seemed a little bit bigger up there.
Everything's bigger at the top.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So you put your bags in your room, and you go check out the food options, and there's one thing Carnival Breeze has, and it's plenty to eat. What did you think of the food?
The food was very, very good. Very good. You never wanted for anything. And my husband is a big proponent of the 24-hour ice cream.
Okay.
So we definitely take advantage of that. But the options, you know, there's tons more options out there by the pool. You have
the Blue Iguana Cantina,
the Guy Fieri burgers, which I think I ate too many of.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, we went to the dining room every night but one for dinner. And the one night we didn't go, we went to the Fahrenheit 555 Steakhouse.
Nice. And did you get to try out the Jimmy Seaside Barbecue at all out there?
Yes. Yes, we did. We had that for lunch on the last sea day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being in L.A. with all the food options we have out here, I'd have to say that was one of the best barbecue I've ever had.
I've got to say, because we, you know, here in Jacksonville, we are like a barbecue mecca here. And I got to say, that was some pretty good barbecue aboard the ship there. And did you get to try out the sushi place at all?
No, we didn't do the sushi place.
No.
It just... that was always full every time we walked by, so I'm assuming it was probably good.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But, yeah, so we never really got a chance to do that.
Did you wind up doing the all-you-can-drink, what is Carnival calling it, the Cheers beverage program or something?
Yes.
What is it now, $42.95 a day plus 15%?
No, it's $50.
Okay, and did you
$50 a day.
Did you find it worth it?
Yes, because if you look at the bar menu, the drinks are like between $8 and $9. So you figure if you drink at least 6 drinks a day, you've got it covered.
Right.
You know, and I can do 6 drinks a day, and that's starting at 11 o'clock.
Nice.
So I totally felt it was worth it, and I think my husband tried drinks that he would never have tried on an ordinary cruise if he was paying for them. So we really enjoyed that. And they said the limit is 15 a day, and I'm thinking, people can drink 15 drinks in a day?
Hey, you know, if you start early and pace yourself, you can blow it out the water.
I guess so. So, but they actually completely cut you off after 15. You can't even order and pay.
That's awesome. And Carnival has a lot of entertainment on Carnival Breeze. They have the new updated production programs. They have the 5D or 4D, whatever it is, a thrill theater on there. Little venues around the ship, like the Red Frog Pub with the live acoustic music and music by the pool. It goes on and on and on. What did you think about the entertainment?
We went to the piano bar and the Red Frog Pub.
Uh-huh.
And the gentleman that was at the Red Frog happened to be doing guitar in the piano bar the second night we were in there. And he was really, really good. We went to the show, those new with the digital things on it.
Yeah, the HD flat screens or whatever they are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm a little old-fashioned when it comes to going to the big theater and seeing the shows. Two of the shows we enjoyed, two of the shows were just, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the big production numbers.
Did you catch Motor City or Divas?
Those were the two I liked.
Okay, yeah, same here. So,
yeah.
What did you think about the comedians on board?
I really didn't care for the comedians this
really?
Time around. Yeah.
Were they just vulgar or what?
It was a little blue. Mm-hmm. And I can usually handle stuff like that, but it was way over the top.
I felt that Carnival did a pretty good job with the outside spaces on Carnival Breeze, because you have like the upper sports deck with the ropes course up there, and then you have the nice size pool right there in the middle with the little cabanas in the pool. How crowded was the pool deck on sea days? Was it overcrowded or what?
The pool was pretty crowded even on shore days. Seemed like a lot of people just kind of stayed at the pool. It never seemed like you had a trouble finding a place to sit, though, which was always good. Seemed like a lot of people were mostly like in the pool, you know, rocking out to whatever DJ was going.
Right.
But the thing that I did like is on the lower levels, like on deck 5, where the Red Frog is and all that, that they have those other hot tubs.
Yeah.
So not everybody is up on the pool deck, and they had, you know, more lounges down on five, and the space, you could tell when you look over the balconies that they seem to extend out farther.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Which gives you more seating.
What did you think of the Red Frog Pub?
We loved the Red Frog Pub. We were there every night before dinner.
Yeah.
We did the late, so we had the 8:15 seating.
Uh-huh.
So about 7 o'clock, we would go down and sit there and have a couple cocktails before dinner. And sitting outside was just magnificent. The best night, I think, was when we were in Curacao and we didn't leave until like 11.
Uh-huh.
And so it was nice sitting there watching the sunset before we went to dinner.
Very cool. Yeah, there's some gorgeous sunsets in Curacao and Aruba.
Oh my gosh.
They're both awesome.
Aruba, I think, was my favorite.
Well, and I was going to ask you that. Speaking of the cruise ports you went to, what ports did you hit, and which one was just your absolute favorite?
We went to Grand Turks, Dominican Republic, Curacao, and Aruba.
Mm-hmm.
Aruba was my absolute favorite out of the four.
Did you do an excursion there?
Yes, we did the Medusa snorkel with lunch.
Uh-huh.
And I would recommend that excursion to anybody and everybody. It was the best lunch I've ever had on a shore excursion, ever.
Really? What made it so good?
God. Well, first of all, it wasn't a buffet. They served you. They served you on real plates with real silverware. And it was a meal. It was rice, barbecue chicken, grilled fish, fruit, vegetable salad. And they come out and they serve you, and then they pick it up and put it away, and you just sit there, complete open bar. You didn't have to do anything.
Nice.
Yeah, and the snorkeling was over a they took you to four different spots, and one of them was over a German cargo shipwreck from World War II.
Oh, that would be really cool to see. So
yeah, that was very cool.
So you have a sea day, and you get back into Miami. It's time to disembark the ship. And how was the disembarkation process with 4,000 plus people?
It was actually really nice. We were number 9,
mm-hmm.
and they told us that we didn't have to be out of our rooms until 8:30.
Okay,
which was nice. And they hit number 9 at like 8 o'clock. So we never had to go to, you know, an open deck or an open space, you know, like sometimes you have to do when you're disembarking.
Uh-huh.
And we got off and got out. And I think the one thing that I liked as well is to get your luggage. It's like the carousels, like at the airport.
Yes, yes, yes. It just goes around in a circle. Yeah. Very cool. Now, any first time tips for folks wanting to cruise on Carnival Breeze?
Comfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to use the stairs a lot because it gives me room to eat more.
To burn the burgers off.
Yes. So, and just try and see as much as you can. Do as much as you can.
Well, it sounds like you had an amazing cruise. Listener
yes.
Marcy Busey from Los Angeles, thank you so much for giving
thank
your
you.
Review of Carnival Breeze. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Next up, I think, is going to be the sunshine.
Always love getting your listener questions. You can email comments at cruiseradio.net. We now have a toll-free line, too, so please feel free to call that. All calls are subject to broadcast. You can call 888-429-4334.
What does that spell?
We
haven't got that far yet, have we?
I have no witty retort.
Okay.
This one on Facebook from Dwight. He writes, Doug, I'm on the Carnival Fascination at 7 this morning. I was enjoying the Serenity area when a husband and wife walked up next to me, put down their towels, ball caps, and paperback books on the two deck chairs and walked off. They returned to the chairs 45 minutes later with their items still there. My question is, should I have said something to them about Carnival's deck chair policy, or should I have minded my own stinking business, which I did? What would you have done?
what would you have done?
What would Jesus do?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus would throw their crap overboard. I think if it was longer than 45 minutes, I probably would have just taken their stuff and threw it on the ground. 45 minutes is adequate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I don't think you want to know what I would have done.
Yeah.
When I get a little livid with that kind of stuff, that kind of impoliteness.
Well, yeah, it is obnoxious.
Crazy. Yeah.
So we turned this question over to you on Facebook, and here's what you had to say.
Becky Beal writes, I will say the most frustrating part of cruising for me is getting a space on the Serenity deck and even a lounge chair by the pool, really. Most folks don't pay attention to the policies, and most cruise lines don't enforce. It's frustrating. It would be nice if they made mention of the policy in a bigger way, say, in the Daily Bulletin.
Yeah, that'll work too, I guess. Why am I just saying that?
Do it politely and yes. professionally. There's that option.
Patricia Dempsey says, well, they waited a reasonable length of time, then took the lounger.
Julia Warm Whelan writes, I probably wouldn't say anything. I'm not the confrontational type, but I agree with Becky Beal on how frustrating it can be to find a seat by the pool. Most chairs have something on them, but few people in the pool. Where are they? Inconsiderate seat hoggers.
I like this last one from Gina. She says, why were you watching the clock when you're on a cruise to begin with? Let the deckhands worry about the rules unless it affects you in some way.
Yeah, that's true.
Well said, Gina.
Yeah.
So if you want to follow us on Facebook and join the conversation, it's facebook.com/cruiseradio.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget about our app. Only 99 cents for Droid users. Free for iPhone users. Simply search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store.
And the reason why it costs 99 cents for Droid users is because I haven't figured out how to make it free yet.
Oh, not because they're inferior to iPhone users?
No.
Okay.
You can also sign up for our cruise news updates at cruiseradio.net. Just put your email in the box in the upper right-hand corner.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is recorded weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Download the Cruise Radio app. Hear Cruise Radio on TuneIn Radio, the Stitcher Radio Network, the Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, CruiseAddicts.com, and on our website at CruiseRadio.net. Follow Cruise Radio on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr. For advertising opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.